come away, but gradually we'll all come back together again. You know, God wants us to know what it means to be together because he's given us life, and we heard around communion about the wonderful life that he's given us. And we know that life is more than just breathing in and out. Life is this abundant joy, this abundant reality of eternal life that God, by his Holy Spirit, has put within us through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But God designed and wired us to enjoy loving relationships. And we know how important relationships are. You know, we think sometimes, why did God create us? When we think of, you know, how worthless we have been and how worthless man is in his sin and how ugly we see on the news and radio, and we've only got to look back in our own life, our own generations, and see how ugly man can be without God. And yet God created man. And he created us not because he was lonely. He had everything. He was God, the God of the Godhead. And he had Jesus and the Spirit of God with him. He had the angels to worship him in ways that we can only worship as we really get into the Spirit. But God desired us. He desired to have us. And that's a powerful thing. He didn't create us to glorify him. He already had that. But he called us to be at one with him. And in John 17, 21 to 23, Jesus prayed to his Father as he came to realise just what God had sent him to earth for. Well, he knew, but to really pray this out to him. And he said, Jesus prayed to the Father that they all may be one with you, Father, as in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the whole world believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and you have loved them as you have loved me. It's a powerful scripture. And come to realise that God loves us just as he loved his Son, and he gave his Son for us that we might know this love, this absolute wonderful love. God desires to have us in a loving relationship with himself, but with one another. And we know how important relationship is. You know, Jesus also said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. And so we are intricately connected by the power of his Spirit. And you know, when the Spirit of God is within us, it draws us to desire relationship and companionship. No man has been created to be an island. We've all been created to be together. Our design or wiring actively seeks to live in loving relationships. And we know that, you know, children have friends at school and they grow up. We're all part of a family. But as we grow, there's a desire in us to look for a mate, to be connected to somebody, to live in a loving relationship of marriage, and then to have our children and teach them what it means to be family. And family is more than just coming together and listening to mum and dad and coming around the table. It's sharing an intimacy that only God can bring for us. You know, we were really touched this week. Brendan and Chloe sent us a video of Ezekiel. And he was lying with a little puzzled look on his face. And as Chloe spoke to him and talked to him, he opened his little mouth and his eyes wide and he smiled, and there was recognition. And it just brought such joy. It melted our hearts. And I thought, how it must melt the heart of God, how much joy it brings to God when one that he creates comes to that place of seeing him, of knowing him as his Father. You know, when we become Christians, when we're born again into Christ, then we come to that place like a little child of seeing and knowing where we fit, where we belong, and that desire, that connection of seeing Jesus Christ that warms the heart of the Father when we, you know, look up and we smile and we say, Daddy, you're my Father. You're my Father. And so God loves to give us everything that he's got. He wants to give us into our lives all that he possesses, which is his grace, his love. But he also desires that we have fellowship with him and that we have fellowship with one another. We need one another. We need one another. It's not just a choice. There is a stirring, as I said. Once the Holy Spirit enters in, we understand. And we know the world is full of lonely people and they are looking. There's a stirring in their hearts because they don't belong. Even if you're in a family, it's a wonderful thing to be in a family, but there's still something missing. You know, I was brought up in a very difficult situation, as I've shared many times. And so I still look at other families and think, oh, they've got everything because they've got love and they've got acceptance. They've got a mother that touches them and loves them and a father that is proud of them. And I thought that was everything. But as I grew up and I saw families that had those things, I saw there was still something missing. It was God that was missing. And it's only when we have that ingredient, when we have that oneness with our Creator, and we live the way he's created us to be, that then family becomes. And it's more than just our own families. This is family. As we abound one together, one with the other in Jesus Christ, it is a work of the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, the Christians are always identifying with other Christians. And the Bible describes the believers in Rome as being one body in Christ, individual members of one another. And that's in Romans 12:5. And so it's almost 250 times in the New Testament that they are called brothers and sisters. And you know, we are brothers and sisters because we are the children of God. We are sons and daughters. And what a powerful position that is to be, a son and a daughter. And you see, when we know that we are that, when we stand in the fulfillment of that, when the Spirit of God brings a revelation of that to us and that oneness, there is that hunger for God. And once we see God, God is a God, he's so giving that he wants us to honour him and adore him, and he draws us to him, but he also then puts a desire and a hunger in us for one another. A hunger for one another. You know, when you go on holidays, it's wonderful. But we all say, isn't it nice to come home? It's nice to come home to your familiar house, to your comfortable bed and your familiar cozy chair. Well, it's like that here. We go on holiday and as Pastor Chris said, it's wonderful. We went up to Mansfield again on Australia Day and we love going to Mansfield and catching up with the people. But when the car turns and it's coming back, it's wonderful to come home. But not just to our home in Curtin Street, home to our family, our church family. You know, we see more of one another than we do more of our natural family. We see more of one another than we do of many of our natural family. But it's because we long for that. It doesn't mean we feel less of them. We love them. But there is a binding of the Spirit that the things of natural family can't bring. And that's why we desire to see our family saved and born again. God just doesn't call people. He calls us together. He's not creating only children. He's creating us as brothers and sisters, as I said. In the Bible, it tells us that people who believe in Jesus Christ are part of this wonderful family of God, this beautiful family of God. You know, when we were in Western Australia, when we first went there, that was my biggest thing to leaving here, was to leaving our church family. I know John felt it, but I probably felt it more because he'd already been there and for 6 months and been established, and I didn't really know what I was going to. And when I got up there, it was just so wonderful when John said there's going to be a service at the courthouse on Friday night. We'd been there for a month and we went along and I was able to connect and see in the town who were Christians and straight away started to connect. And then as God does, we started to connect and come together and see that we needed more of this. We couldn't be living on the edge just eating crumbs of bread. We wanted the lot. We wanted a banquet. We wanted to come together and fellowship. And also, as we did, we would minister and show who we were to the town. And so very quickly, we gathered together in our home and started a Sunday school. And so it went on and raised up a big church. And people came into the town. And they were so happy to find that there was something there. We were able to meet people as they came, provide food for them, water. You know, it's a long way, and particularly people that come from other countries, England, some of them thought they were going to drive off the end of the earth when they drove 1,400 kilometres in a straight run right up this dirt track. And so they were thirsty and hungry for many things. And so we fed them and did those things, hospitality, invited them into our home and shared the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, like the early church in Acts, the church grew. And that's God's desire. That's his choice. And then the need for people, many years later, when our son Gary got very sick and I had to take him down to Perth and there were many tests and things, John had to be up with the other children, plus he had a job to do. And then we found out how bad Gary was. They told us that he wouldn't live, that what he had was incurable, and it was only time and so on. And I couldn't leave him in the hospital. I was there with him. But you know, the church came to me. People in Newman rang their families in Perth, people I'd never seen. And the beautiful thing is they came into the hospital all hours of the day and night, and they came to minister to me and to Gary. And straight away, there was a connection. It was like I'd known them all my life, because we were bound together by one spirit, one heart. And they stood with me and they prayed with me. And they physically held me up at times when my knees were failing. And then John was able to come down and be with me for a couple of days and then go back. But I will never forget those people. Some of them, quite a few of them, have now gone to the Lord. I'd kept in touch with them. But I still remember the things that were said, the things that were done, because they didn't go into my ears, they went into my spirit, they went into my heart. They became part of me, those people, and I know that I will rejoice when I see them in glory, and we will meet again. And that's a wonderful promise God's given us. What is sown in the flesh will die, but what is sown in the spirit lives forever. So we need to hold on to that and know that God has made this time for a purpose. You are here today for a time such as this. You are here today to grab hold of the reality of what church means. Pastor John spoke last week about the church body and about loving one another and coming together as a church. But we need to go more than that. Coming together at church is wonderful, but we need more. You know, you sit down and you have your meal and it's nice, but you're always looking for your dessert, aren't you? You're always looking for something, that little sweet thing, or a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, especially you young ones, to finish off the meal. And it's sort of like that. We come to church and it's wonderful, but then we need to expand out to our groups, and that's the sweet things. That's the other things that we really enjoy, because we can't fully connect here. I know my husband said last week, and I know it's true, it troubles him if people get away on a Sunday and he doesn't see them. And so it is with us sometimes that we don't always catch up. But when we get into our grow groups, then we connect on an intimate level. And that's what God wants us to do. Ephesians 4:16 says, "From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Isn't that beautiful? "From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament," that's us, "grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." And we know in the physical body, we have all different members and every member does its part. And so it is in the spiritual, that God has created us to be those parts of the body that come together. And you have what I need and I have what you need. Not because I say so, because that's how God's created it. That we each have an ingredient that the other needs. We each have something that builds the other up. It's so important. The Apostle Paul described believers as the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12:27. "Not that each person is a body of Christ in himself, but together we make up that body. The body is made up of many parts, and we are those many parts that come together to make up the whole." And so it is when we come into our grow groups. When we become Christians, as I said, it's wonderful. But then we're looking for the more. And the more is our fellowship in our grow groups. God has designed that we come together as these little bodies of Christians that come together to meet each other's needs. Not only do believers assemble to hear and learn from the Bible study that is taught that night and whatever, they're actively involved in helping one another And so the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are also doing. Learning more and living more like Jesus has an important effect on the world. And so as a result, we are no longer children tossed to and from with every wave of doctrine and carried about by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. We need fellowship so that we will grow in the inner person, that we will grow in the spirit. And that growing is learning to depend on one another. Not depend on one another without Christ, it is Jesus. But for many things we depend on one another. What kind of need do you have today? And we know that our needs are met in Christ. Our needs are met in Christ, but God often uses people to meet those needs. You know, loneliness, as I said before, is a very big thing in our society today. We see people that have everything. We've seen plastered over the news the last few weeks about this exorbitant engagement ring that Mariah Carey is wearing, that Packer gave her. And, you know, it's so heavy that she's sort of standing there and it feels like it's going to weigh her down. Great big sparkling thing. And you think, what's it all about? You know, millions of dollars. There are people starving and we need things in hospitals and so many things, and he splurges out. Look, it's wonderful. He loves her, and it's lovely when you love somebody. But the measure of love is not found in a diamond that you give someone. It's in the commitment that you give. And I hope this works for them, because neither of them have got a good track record. But I really hope for them that it works. But you see, unless they find the true meaning of life, unless they find what it really means to be united together and what this commitment of covenant means, when they come and just say, they just say these words and have this spectacular wedding and they think that's what it's all about. But when the party's over, it's what is left. And so we see the world, and so we see that these two people who are very, very wealthy, and she's got, you know, people falling at her feet. She's got a beautiful voice, gifted with a beautiful, beautiful voice. And yet they've not found happiness. They've not found happiness because they're looking at it in things and in the wrong places. Whereas we know that it's not a matter of the size of the ring we wear on our finger. It's not a matter of the money in our bank. It's a matter of who's inside us. And about this love, this love that brings a hope. This beautiful hope that God gives us, and the desire to make the most of every moment of our life, to enjoy whether we're sitting down with a slice of toast and a cup of black tea or whether we're sitting at a banquet. But if we're sitting with someone that we love and someone who loves us, and we're united by this wonderful power of God, we have everything. We have everything. Proverbs speaks a lot about, doesn't it, about living in a cave with a morsel than living in a mansion with unhappiness. And so we see that we need to know what this love of God is all about and how he draws us together, and about the needs that we have and how we can meet those needs one with the other. One of the neat things about the body of Christ, as I said, is about people coming around you when you need them. It's about being able to go to a safe environment. That's what our grow groups are about. The grow groups are, as we know, many of you go to grow groups, and my prayer is that after today, everybody will go to a grow group. You received when you came in a letter of invitation about the grow groups and telling you, and there are signs up around the room to show you where the grow groups are and where you've been allocated. If that's a problem, you come and see Pastor John and myself after. But it's our desire to get you slotted in somewhere so that you've got a place where you belong, a place where you really count, someone really knows about you, because it's the grow groups that make this church body. And so, you know, you go along to your grow group and there is warm hospitality. We have wonderful hosts hosting our grow groups. There is warm hospitality. You're welcomed in. There's worship and singing and praise. There's prayer. Going through the Word of God, having the Word of God explained to you, and it's a safe environment where you can ask questions. You can ask questions, and the leaders don't always have all the answers, but they're committed to say, well, look, I'm not sure, but leave it with me and I'll check it up and I'll come back to you. And they'll search it out or they'll contact us and talk about what that question is. But then it's an understanding of a deeper thing of the Word of God, and the studies are designed for all of the groups to do the same study so that we're all growing at the same pace and we're learning deeper things. And it's a place where we can stop and ask questions and really look into that scripture. And then, of course, there's the fellowship, which is utmost, to be able to share with someone and to be in a safe environment where we can share our heart and not feel that our trust is going to be betrayed, and to be able to pray with one another. I know it's not a grow group, but I know with our woman to woman, I'm really looking forward to getting back to woman to woman. I know some of the women are, because it's that special time where we come together around the Word and we've got time to unpackage the Word and explore it and understand it, but above all, to be able to share and learn more about one another's hearts. We need to learn and have an opportunity to be able to open up and share what I'm feeling so that you know me on a deeper level. Otherwise, we can just have the short time we have here, but we don't connect otherwise, even though it's good to be able to share with one another in the homes and have hospitality. The Bible says it's about iron sharpening iron. And as we come together, we sharpen one another, we ignite one another. And so the Bible says that we need to consider how to stimulate one another to God's love and his deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, by encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, in Hebrews 24:25. You can't find a more clear and direct statement from God about believers needing to assemble together than there. And so we see that our God's love is so great and so wide, and our love for one another should be a lifestyle, an activity weekly. Our big God has called us to live together in everyday life and to be able to share together and to love one another. The rhyme of the early church was a desire to meet God and to show him to the world. And as I said before, as we grow together in grow groups, we are proclaiming his love to the world. And grow groups are a place too where we can invite other people. Our desire is to grow. The early church grew because people saw them drawing together. And you know, your neighbours see, if you run a grow group, they see people coming and going. I know in the past we've had our neighbours ask them about what goes on every week at your house. And of course we've invited them, they've not come. But we've been able to build relationship. And so we also ignite one another and enthuse one another to go out into the world to share with our neighbours, with our work friends, with our schoolmates, whoever, and to show this love of God that is so rich and full in our life, and to be able to build them in to our grow groups, to be able to invite our neighbours, to be able to invite our friends, to be thrilled to ask them to come. Now, as we've said before, if you come to this church and you need to be in a grow group, and it's our desire that you would desire to be in a grow group, and on the list, if I may have missed some, so if I've missed you, please come and tell me, and we'll certainly allocate you to a group. But that needs to be done here, because we know where the groups are and how full they are or whatever. But if you have neighbours or friends, you invite them along, because that's your grow group, that's your time of fellowship, that's your place where you can bring them and invite them in and love them and show them what it means to be loved. In Acts 2:43, we know that they gathered together, broke bread together and gathered together weekly, and awe came upon every soul. The disciples were drawn more and more to God through their ministry to one another and meeting one another's needs as the Spirit led them. The joy in God was growing and spreading in the fertile ground of real, consistent and sacrificial fellowship. God captured more of our hearts through one another. Joy in God grows and spreads in fertile ground of real contentment and sacrificial fellowship and consistency. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Acts 2:47. And so we see the importance of grow group. We saw up on the screen the steps of our growing, what our growing means. And it's relationship, it's fellowship, it's growing in the Word of God, but it's also growing in togetherness. And so today is our day of launching. And you know, it's when you're launching something. I was thinking about it, and it's talking about starting something, setting something off. And I was thinking about a little boy with a little boat. And he goes to find some water, a stream, and he pushes it out into the water. He launches it out and watches it excitedly as it travels along the stream. And you see, the boat then needs his hand and his eye to watch it, because it flows along the stream, but then it might reach a stag, so it needs him to push it out and show it the way to go. And so as we launch you into grow groups, as we launch our grow groups, we pray for the leaders and for the hosts. And it's our prayer then, as you come into the groups, that you're being launched out into this new year of 2016. And you see, the year of 2016, God has already laid out our purpose and the blessings he desires, but it's our choice to take it. We can sit and hear and we can say, oh, that's nice, and do nothing, and so we'll receive nothing. But if we make the choice to say, God, you've laid this before me now, you've spread this table, I'm going to take. And so it's as we take, we will not only grow, but we'll have the strength and the ability to face the challenges, because every day brings a new and unexpected challenge, doesn't it? Every day brings a new and unexpected challenge. And sometimes those challenges seem so big, but as we cry out to God, then he ministers, and sometimes he sends others quite often to come alongside us, to come along. I remember many years ago, I was going through a very difficult time. I was nursing my mother and caring. I had a sick child, and life was really, really pushing. And I went down the street one day, and I was in the shop, and I looked at something, and something negative came into my mind, and I knew it was a real attack of the enemy. And I prayed, but it was like, I need fellowship. And I got in the car and I drove. And I drove down to Joan Patton's house. And her and Cheris and Norton were there, and I shared with them. And they prayed with me, and something was broken that day. God gave Joan an incredible vision, things that she could not have known. And so something was broken. And so God shows us how much we need. And it's the Spirit of God that stirs that within us, that we need one another. And that's what we find in grow groups, that during the week you can ring your leader, you can ring other members of the group and stand with them, so that we can pray together and stand. What did this addition look like in Acts? Did it look like God just dropping people off at the front door to receive the gospel and join the church? Of course not. People were added through the preaching and the witness and the sharing and the vibrance of those people. They were added to by faithfully testifying to Jesus as our greatest treasure and the love they had for one another. Jesus gave us a commandment to love one another as I have loved you, not as the world loves, but love as I've loved you. And his heart was that we would become one with him and with one another as he was with the Father. And this love is not an airy-fairy emotional love. This is an unconditional agape love. This is a love that says, I will love you no matter what. It's like in a marriage, isn't it? If we want to know what marriage is, we get married and it's all so wonderful, but then we learn what it means to be committed and have a committed love. And a love that loves when I don't always like you, I don't always like what you say. And we can say things to one another or do things that we don't always like, but that love is there. And it's that love that draws the grace of God to bring us to forgive, or to be able to have that beautiful grace of understanding and empathy to come alongside the other person and resolve the issue. That is what this love is all about, this beautiful love. I'm just going to ask Daniel Wise and Angela Grimmer to come now, and they're just going to quickly share a word with you. I'll ask Angela first, if she'll come. Grab the microphone, thanks. Thank you. Because they both attend a grow group, so no one better than them to tell you what they think about it. Thanks, Angela. Angela goes to the St Albans Central. Yep.
I do. So the members of our grow group are just like everyone in this room. They're our family. So when I go to grow group, I know I'm around people who love me. They love me, my daughters, my husband. They pray for me. They want to nurture my spiritual growth. They care about even the little things in my life. They pray for me. They encourage me. I know that if I wasn't at church or at Grow Group, they'd come and look for me to make sure that I'm okay. And I love them.
And the food when you had...
Then we have fellowship where we just share everything about life with each other. They ask about my children's life. So even my children look up to everyone there. So they've become role models to my children.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks, Angela. Thanks, Angela. And when dear little Ada was born, there were meals provided to the family. That's all part of being part of a Grow Group. Daniel, do you want to come? Thanks. Because there's a lot of practical needs that we need. Sorry, I've got two microphones going here. A lot of practical things have to be done, and it's only the Spirit of God that leads us to see those and do them. Thanks, Daniel.
Most things have been said, but I'd just like to reinforce the relationship side of it, because like family, you know, you sort of grow apart if you're not together, and it's the same with friendship and anything else. So if you don't go to a home group, you will lose contact with a lot of people. And that opportunity is there for everyone to get.
Thank you very much, Daniel. It's my prayer for those that go to Grow Group, you'll be encouraged to attend more regularly and to be there and to be that person, not only that's always receiving, but to grow in maturity, to be the one that's giving. And we're always looking for new leaders. And within this body here, there are people that God could be speaking to about leadership. And the leaders are always on the lookout in the groups for someone who is showing that heart's desire and that hunger to be able to know more about the Word of God and to be able to teach and to be able to love. And so, and for those who don't go, I pray it stirred in you a desire to come to Grow Group. I'm going to ask now if Pastor John and Pastor Chris will come up and... Father, we just thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, that you would impart your word deep into the depths of our heart, that, Lord, like a seed, it would nurture and grow and be nourished as we come together around your word, as we learn more about you, as we pray and we learn to love one another, to be devoted to one another in brotherly love and to serve one another in love, for that's your heart's desire. As we do that, we fulfil your will and your perfect plan for us. So we just bless you and ask that you would take this word this morning and impart it by your Spirit, Lord, not what I've said, but what you would speak into hearts today, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you.